They weren't going to link back to me. They weren't going to credit me. And they had thousands on there. No, because now you're taking my work to benefit you and I don't get anything back. Hi, and welcome to episode 71 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
So this week we have an interesting topic on whether artists should do work for free, and we'll explain that when we get to it. But first of all, what have you been up to this week, Alice?
I've been stuck in front of the computer again. I've been editing stuff. I've been editing some things for the membership club, which I've been meaning to re-edit for a while. We've had member testimonials come in, which has been really nice to watch. But I've got this funny situation for a while where I've got one computer that won't import files without crashing and one computer that won't export files. So it's taking a while. It's not very good, I'm afraid. But I got a day last week to go to the studio, which was really nice. And
you actually travelled to the studio.
I actually travelled to the studio. Yeah, it was just to sit in a space was so nice. And I did go thinking that I would maybe start some big new paintings and didn't feel it at all when I got there. So what I did was I just started actually going through reading a big book on Diebenkorn, which I flicked through. You know, when you get a big book from an exhibition and you look at all the pictures and you read a page or two of it. I thought I'm actually going to read this from the beginning. And it was really interesting because it prompted me into all these ideas about Cézanne and Mondrian and division of spaces. And I remember when I was about 17, really loving Cézanne and not really quite understanding why everybody just talked about Picasso so much. And nobody really talked about Cézanne and his kind of influence in the Cubist movement. And I just thought that his approach was a little bit gentler. Picasso came across to me as, you know, very aggressive, very, you know, quite masculine in some of the works. And Cézanne had a softer approach, a softer way of seeing it. So it was really nice to read this book on Diebenkorn and to be reminded of all those influences and things that I'd liked many years ago and kind of think, oh yeah, I like those. I'm on the right track. So it was just a nice kind of reconnecting, and I'm going to go again tomorrow and hope that it translates into actually painting more.
Well, we are allowed to drive now, aren't we? We're supposed to, in England, as of yesterday, we're supposed to be able to drive somewhere. So I took Riley for a drive 10 minutes away to this reservoir that we used to walk around. 10 minutes drive away. I parked the car. There was big signs saying car park's closed. I was like, okay, but I'm supposed to be allowed to come here now. So I parked by the side of the road, set off with Riley, and 5 minutes after we set off, I looked back and I saw a man taking a photo of my car, like a, you know, busybody who'd seen my car park there and the car park's closed. So I'm taking a photo and sending it to someone. I was like, ugh. So anyway, yes, that was my venturing out in the car. I'm not doing it again.
Yeah, I'm afraid I think there's going to be quite a lot of that because the rules are a bit vague. I mean, we have always been allowed to travel. Like, you've always been allowhed to go to work. Going to the studio is work. Don't meet
yes, exactly.
anybody else when I'm there. Don't exactly. get in touch with anybody work. On the way there.
You're lucky that yours is still open, actually, because I was talking to somebody else whose studio's been closed since this. So you're lucky that it's open. That's good.
Well, they're still charging me full rent. So, you know, it's full rent for premises that I'm paying for.
And you can drive there and you get out. You don't see anyone. It's fine. Yeah. So I have got back to painting a little bit on boards because I was only on paper. So I have felt a bit of a desire to get back to painting and worked on a big one. Completely went into a new direction that I'm not even sure is a direction. So I don't know that I was ready for it. I was just like, okay, I'm just going to see what happens because it's not like I'm excited about what happened, but I am excited about the fact that I got paints out. I've christened my painting wall. It's got drips on it now. Yeah. It's messy. The paint on the floor. So it feels, you know, and things are moving. But like you, I spent most of my time in front of the computer. And I keep thinking, you know, I told myself that I'll have time that I'm not doing this. And yet I'm constantly So I'm getting ready in 5 weeks' time, mid-June. I'll be doing my free, once a year, free Find Your Joy taster course thing, which lasts for a week, but which is a huge amount of work in advance. I've got to get everything into Kajabi because it wasn't in there last year. I've got to start preparing. I'm preparing testimonials too from people, video testimonials, all sorts to do. And I just thought this morning when I woke up, oh, wow, every minute of today is taken up already. And, including what time I'm going to walk the dog, that has to be scheduled in because otherwise it won't happen. But on the other hand, what I keep thinking is how fortunate I am to be this busy, because at this time when people are losing their jobs and are uncertain, then at least I have work to do, and I just have to be thankful for that.
I just know that if I'm not busy on one thing, I'm busy on something else. And like when, you know, somebody says to me, you're busy on something. Sometimes, you know, I do take time off or have days where I deliberately put things off until later and take time for myself. But I do prefer to be busy, but I'm a little bit like you. In fact, I walked the dog this morning and I came back and I thought, actually, I don't know, it feels like a little bit of a turning point in the sense that I've spent a lot of time over the last few weeks really banking down and making sure that I'm looking after other people in my membership and getting things settled. I've done a lot of quite big preparation jobs, you know, quite big project type jobs that normally on day-to-day life we just don't have time for, that actually I am now more organized on. And this is all the stuff that we all avoid all the time because it's not fun and it's not interesting and it always takes three times as long as you expect it to. Like, no one likes doing that. Certainly nobody likes thinking about doing it. Sometimes maybe once we get started you think, oh, that bit was quite fun to get that bit sorted, and then you get on with a little bit more. But I feel now that I decided this morning that I do want that next week is going to be busy, but after that CVP will be coming to an end, and this has, I've got to get back to whatever our new situation is, painting more, because the times that I do paint, even when I don't feel like I want to, even when I think it's just going to be half an hour, 40 minutes of changing something, taking it forward, that's the bit that feels normal. So it's got to come back. And some people have been great. I think some people have really found solace in painting, and they've never let that go. And, you know, full kudos to you if you've managed to do that. But everybody's in such different situations. And I think if you haven't managed to do that, equally, no need to feel bad about it. Everybody's got huge amounts of extra demands on them. And all you can do is what you can do. Wake up each day. What for the next hour? What before lunchtime? What one or two things would you like to get done, or do you need to get done today? It's the only way I've been managing it. And it's kind of been working. This week's felt pretty cool.
Mine's like, what 10 or 12 things do you want to get done? And I was thinking exactly the same as you. This is like, everything on this list seems essential. But some of it is, and I know you're doing this because I'm in your membership group, so I know what you're doing for the membership group. Some of it is overperforming. Some of it is like, yes, all this is brilliant that I'm doing for people, but it's not all necessary. Like, it could all stop. I could ease up and not do quite so much. So my question to myself is, am I just constantly going to be, you know how people annoy you, or not annoy you, but things niggle at you if it's you, if it's reflecting back to you?
Yeah.
And I have this neighbor and he's lovely. He's a very nice man. He's always in and out, busy socializing. Then he's never home. But now with this lockdown, he has to be home all the time. So what he started to do is have deliveries every day of things coming. Like, now he's doing his garden and he's planning all sorts of extensions on the house, and he's doing all this stuff because he can't just stay, you know. And I was thinking to myself this morning, a little bit of irritation, like when a big lorry came down the drive, I was like, can't he just for once stop and not have to be always doing things? And then I thought, why is that annoying you? Because it's nothing to do with you. And then I thought, because that's me in a different way. I'm not doing it in my garden or my house or going out socializing, but he's annoying me because it's me. And yeah. And so I do think after I've done my course this year, I want to have some time. Like, you've been spending time reflecting on painting and things in recent months. I want to spend some time reflecting on, like, how can I manage that part of my personality better so that I don't fill in every space with, oh, well, if I've got a bit of time, I could do some extra content for the membership group, or I could do, you know, don't have to do that all the time.
No, you don't have to. I mean, there are things on the list. And when you say it's more like 10 to 12 a day, yes, obviously it's more like 10 to 12.
Yeah. Obviously. But not for everybody, you see. Not everybody's like us. Some people do just settle for a reasonable amount in a day.
Well, but I did have to be at the timber yard at 7:30 this morning.
Or was it the timber yard?
I've got to get a sheet of hardboard ready for the front surface of a painting before I pack it up in cardboard, because it's a big one. So that needed to be done.
Yeah, that needed to be done.
It was good. I was there. They had a very good system. They said, they kind of called at me and said, you can't drive in here. You have to park outside the gate and then call the number, pay by phone for what you want, and then we'll bring it out to you.
Yeah, ours is doing something like that too, yeah. So shall we move on to our main topic, which you suggested, this topic, which is, should artists work for free? So tell me why you suggested this topic.
Well, this is kind of a little mini celebration, really. For anybody who didn't see it, I have a painting this month that is on the front cover of Ideal Home magazine.
Yay!
Exciting, fun to see. But the point of this is that it came from a situation where I was asked to give work for free. And you never really know where these things come from. But in this scenario, a while ago, so this is the third time I've had work in magazines. And for all of them, I've been asked to give work for free. Two of them, they have paid for the courier to come and collect it from me. This one, I had to go and deliver it to a location. So it wasn't just that the time fitted in. It actually took my time to take it where they were gathering all the things for the shoot. But certainly for all of those situations, there were quite a few voices, including, like, my dad was around the other day and he said, oh, how much did they pay you for it? And I said, no, they didn't pay anything. And he was like, what? Why should you? They have your painting and not pay you for it? And there was a time where I would have agreed with him. And I think that perhaps there are a lot of artists who think, well, no, it's Ideal Home. It's a photographer. It's a fashion shoot. They're making money out of selling the magazine. They should pay you for borrowing your work. So that's the first area that I'd kind of like to talk about. And I know that this doesn't necessarily happen to everybody, but my point is that this is the third time. And this third time happened because of, I think, the other two times. So I think maybe there's connections between stylists and that kind of thing. But there are other situations where artists are expected to give work or often asked for work for free. So often we are asked to give work for charity auctions. Mm-hmm. Often we're asked to give of our skills for free. But it's really the kind of giving work away. And if there's ever a situation that you would say yes to that, and just to throw around this argument really with the pros and cons.
Yeah, I mean, definitely in that situation of the magazine, I would say yes. And when I was preparing for this, I was thinking, why would I say yes? Well, I would automatically say yes if I think it's a win-win. So in this case, that to me is a win-win. People will see your artwork on the cover of that magazine. Somebody might follow up and find out who you are from that. They might not. But even if they don't, you get to say, featured in, you know, Ideal Home and whatever. So it's,
oh, yeah.
To me, that's a real win-win. It's a brand builder for you. And they get a nice painting that fits with the decor of the cover, the room on the cover that month.
What about the fact that it took me 2 half days to go and take it and go and collect it? Is that an issue?
No, I think, see, again, I think because there was something in it for you.
Yeah.
So I think the payment there for you, I had a similar thing in a different field where when I used to write resumes, they used to publish books of resumes and they don't do that anymore. That's out of date. But you used to buy them if you were doing your own resume and copy. And I would always submit to those books and get published in them. And other people would say, I wouldn't do that unless they pay me for my work. Why should it? Well, because I could say published in these books and because people found me from those books. So to me, that was a win-win. However, a few years later, those resume samples went online and this web company asked me if they could put my resumes online. They weren't going to link back to me. They weren't going to credit me. And they had thousands on there. No, because now you're taking my work to benefit you and I don't get anything back. So that's why I would say it's well worth your time to travel and take the painting, because again, it's a prestige. It puts you into a different category, and the magazine owners know that. And also they don't make very much money. So it's not like they're sitting there rolling around in cash. They're scraping by.
Yeah.
So everyone wins in that situation. So I think my criteria for free, it would always be, number one, is there something in it for me? But that's not the only thing, because number two might be, I want to do this for, you know, philanthropic reasons, or because I think it's a good thing to do. But again, that's because there's something in it for me. So what's in it for me there is feeling that that's what I want to do. But I would never give my work away for free if it only benefits the other person, the other entity. And I don't feel a pull. I'm trying not to steer into the charity thing, but basically,
we'll come to that. I think that's a separate thing. But I think you're right. The difficulty comes in the what's in it for me is sometimes intangible and difficult to judge. So on this occasion, I knew that, for example, I was going to get a name check, but no website link. Mm-hmm. But that's okay, because I know that if you search my name, my website comes up. So if anybody was interested, I don't know how many people have searched, because again, there's no link. There's no way of tracking that link. There's no way, because there isn't a link there. It's just, and Google search is the highest way that people find me. So, you know, it's very hard to be specific. But on the other two occasions, work has been borrowed for photo shoots by larger companies. There has been no name reference at all. So the only thing has been the kind of slight promotional element of, look, here's my work, it's been used in this. And in those occasions, I got a lovely photo out of it. They shared the photograph with me that I could use with credit. So sometimes it's just a bit intangible. It's a bit loose what you're going to get out of it.
Exactly. But I think what you get out of that is usually intangible in a way. So building a brand, which I hate the word personal brand, but that's what it is. And building that is always intangible. But those things pay back. I mean, especially with the name check, but even without, just being able to put that on your website if you want to. Yeah. When people are looking to buy art, they're so often nervous about it that the social proof of you being featured in these prestigious magazines, even if you're the only one saying you were, even if they didn't find you there, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
And with the name check, I mean, once upon a time, and again, this is another field, but once upon a time, my company was featured in Oprah magazine in America, and we helped them with a piece about people finding work. And for years after that, people were coming to us because of that magazine, because it's in dentist's offices or they found it lying around at home. It's amazing how many years it went on for, where just one or two people would trickle in. And I think with Ideal Home, particularly, that's the kind of magazine that sits around in doctor's offices and dentist's offices for years. Because you know how often they update their magazines. You go there and they're from about 10 years ago. So I think that's just, the name check thing is huge. But even without that, I think the social proof. So I think that's the problem, actually. And then I'll stop because I'm talking too much. But people want to trade time for money or a thing for money. And then unless it's that tangible, they don't think it's worth doing. Actually, that's the least value usually. Let's say they rented that painting off you for, what would they pay you to rent the painting for an 50 afternoon?
50 quid.
50 quid, yeah. So, okay, great, 50 quid. You've got 50 quid, but then, but all what you get from that is going to be so much more than the £50.
But I think you make a really good point in that all these situations, you've got to make sure that you're making the most of it. And I sent out a newsletter because this slightly caught me on the hop because it's the June magazine. I thought I was being efficient. I noticed that I've got a note in my diary for tomorrow. Go and buy the June magazine. I thought, because 15th of May, I thought that will be, you know, in good time. I know it comes out a bit early. Oh no, it was published. It was in the shops on the 29th of April. So I got a message saying, here it is. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm not ready for this at all. So I had a couple of days where I really had to scramble to get to go and buy it, find a shop that had it, take photographs of it, get imagery of the work, put it on my website, make sure that the product was up, work out shipping options for print options for having it as a canvas, because I thought there's inevitably going to be a swarm of print orders coming in. Yeah. hundreds of thousands of people who are going to be seeing it. So I've got to be ready for this big thing. And there have been some. Don't get me wrong, there have been some. And also, interestingly, a number of print orders of other prints from people, new people perhaps, who've come to the website or have just been reminded that I have prints available. So there have been benefits of it, but those things, you've got to be ready to make the most of it yourself. So I think if you're going to do it, the other side of it is don't be shy about saying, look, this thing's happened. It's really exciting. Put it on the front cover of your website with a click through to where people can see it, where people can buy it. You've got to work just as hard at that side of it from your end as expecting wherever your work is being shown or being generated will necessarily feed people in your direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, totally. Because it's very easy to let that go by with that, and or maybe just mention it once. I've seen people who've got new things out or who've done something exciting mention it once, and then they feel like, well, I mentioned that on Instagram, so I probably shouldn't say anything else about it. But no, Instagram, Facebook, newsletter, then I'd say Instagram again in a different way, Facebook in a different way, newsletter in a different way, maybe not newsletter twice, but you know, make them up. And like you said, definitely on your website, and you should stay on there somewhere, because again, it's proof this artist is of a certain level and you can take them seriously. So if I had that, that would be right there where you could see it when you first arrived.
Okay, so in that instance, we're talking about should artists work for free, and we're talking about the sense actually you're not working for free, that it's a two-way street and you're getting something from it. So the key thing for me always is, like you say, is it a win-win? Does it fit in my schedule? Is this possible for me? So would I have let them borrow that painting if it meant that I didn't have it for an art fair? That would have been a tougher decision, because at an art fair, the potential would have been there to sell it direct, which is ultimately what we want for our work. Whereas, so that would have been a tougher decision.
Well, can I just pull you up for a second on that? Is it ultimately what we want for our work? So I suppose in that instance, it's up to each person to decide. But if it's ultimately what you want for your work is mainly to sell it, or is ultimately what you want for your work for it to be well known and for you to have a big name? In which case, maybe, so whichever one of those is most important would guide that decision, wouldn't it? If building a reputation is most important, you would probably do the magazine.
Yeah, and also there are always ways around that. So if that had been the situation, what I would have done was I would have had a photograph of that painting and I would have made a little feature on a piece of foam board and I would have put it up and I would have said, look at this painting. It's been taken for a photo shoot with Ideal Home Magazine, so I don't have it here. Here's an image of it if you'd like me to send you a proper photograph when I get it. But so anybody, A, that would have been a point of attraction, a talking point on the stand. And I could have gathered lots of information from people who were then, oh yeah, oh, that would be fun, I'd really like to have that one, can you send me that? So you're almost gathering a wait list for it. So even in that situation, there's a way around it.
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. I like that. And also, because it makes you look more important at the art fair. Yeah. How many other people at this art fair are in Ideal Home Exhibition this month? Nobody, just me.
Okay, so that's that one. So kind of opportunities where you're being asked to loan or give your work, and some people think you should be paid for it. So just pause and think if that comes up. What about this other one then, of being asked to actually give work to charity events?
Now, I've not been asked to give it and not get anything back. I've been asked to donate work and get 50% of the proceeds, with 50% going to the charity. And that to me felt really fair, because if it was a gallery, that's what the deal would be.
Yeah.
And I would rather the money went to a charity, to be honest. Now, I have to confess, out of laziness and to lack of time, I didn't actually get round to doing that. But I did think, oh, that's a good idea, because I've heard of people being asked to give work for nothing to charities. And I'm not sure I would do that unless it was something I really wanted to support and I wanted to give a donation, in which case I'd probably just give a donation, to be honest. I'm not sure I would give a painting in that way. I don't know, because I haven't been asked. But I did think the 50% was really good and very fair. And I know somebody who has, this is slightly off topic, but who has made an entire career of selling work to support a certain charity, giving 50% of the proceeds to that charity, and makes a very good living. And that charity in turn promotes his work. So that's a really cool way, because he decided he didn't want to be in galleries. This is the way he wanted to do it. So all his art career supports this charity, which is,
really nice, really cool.
Yeah, but that's slightly different than what we're talking about. So again, I still think it would come down to, is there something in it for me? I've done sales of my work to give money to charity, but it's been me doing it, and it's been my decision that I want to support this charity, therefore I'm gonna sell these paintings and give the money away.
And I think actually, in terms of fundraising for a charity that's true to you, that probably works better, because the group of people that you're talking to, you know, are already interested in your work. Whereas a group of 200 people in a room across the other side of London who perhaps have never heard of me, are they, how interested are they going to be in just a painting that has been chosen for them? It doesn't seem to me to be a very efficient way to raise funds. And I think you just have to be careful that your paintings perhaps might get devalued if you give away in that circumstance. I know some people do keep, in that situation, they might give slightly older work. So they might give one away that perhaps is no longer part of a series or a group. Maybe it's the one remaining painting. Not that it's a duff painting, but it's just one that perhaps you're not likely to hang as part of a new collection. And I suppose that's a way that you could deal with that side of it. I know that I have in the past done small works that go for a very lower amount of money. But again, you've got to ask this question about what's in it for you as well. So in that situation, it was small pieces. Everything was a fixed price. I can't think what it was, £40 or something. And the full amount of money, I think you could choose whether you got £20 back or you gave the full amount to the charity. So the full amount went to the charity. But I did include, obviously, details within a card, a postcard on the back of me, of my work, where people could find me. And in those situations, all of those small sales, where the 100% of the money went to the charity, resulted in people coming back and buying other work from me.
This is so important. This is so important, because I was just thinking about the other way I've worked for free is, well, I actually, sorry, it wasn't for free, but I thought it was when I said yes. So I was asked to teach a couple of 2-hour workshops at a local art show last year, and I said yes because I know the guy who was running it and I thought it'd be nice to help him out. Subsequently found out I was getting paid for that, and he runs the art shop, so he paid me in art supplies. So for months I was getting all my art supplies for free. But when I said yes, I didn't even think of getting paid. my thought process about that was there were going to be about 40 people coming through that place who would get to see me teach. I would have a fun afternoon. I could test out some new ideas. And at least one of those people, I figured, would eventually take one of my online courses, which is what happened. More than one of them did. And so I made more money on them taking my courses than I got paid for doing the workshop. Mm-hmm. And the other one was getting asked to speak at a local art club. And I had the same thought, oh, that would be a lot of artists there who might subsequently come and take something from me, which they did. But again, they gave me £50 in an envelope at the end, and I wasn't expecting any money for going there because I guess I'm naive about these things. But I just think of it as awareness building. And yeah, an opportunity to make people aware of me and to, you know, and also to remember that the people who go to an art club, and this is a fairly well-off town, you know, people there, the houses are expensive. It's not a cheap place to live. A lot of the people there, they're dabblers in painting, but they're also people who love art. So if I'm going there and showing them some paintings, when I had open studios, there was about 5 or 6 of those people who were at that talk who came to open studios, and somebody bought a painting. So somebody took my courses, somebody bought a painting, all from that little talk. But if I'd said £50, that's not enough. I'm not coming out there for 2 hours to talk for £50. Then I've just lost those opportunities. So I think trading time for money is a really dangerous way to look at things. When you're trying to build a career, I think you have to think of it in terms of awareness and, is this good for my reputation or bad for my reputation? Will this help me do whatever I want to do or not?
Yeah, it's a kind of weighing up what the cost is, isn't it? And the cost might be your time. So for example, I think if I was doing a workshop and I was having to provide everybody's materials and everything for it, there is obviously going to be a significant financial cost in me supplying that for free for them. I wouldn't be happy with that, I think.
Yes,
up front.
Yes. Whereas in my case, the art shop was supplying everything and I just had to turn up and
So what are we're really saying, just be careful about what you consider is working for free and what the potential benefits for you might be. So I'll give you another example. Last week I was contacted by a company who've got an initiative where they take prints from artists, and the idea is that for people who are having babies in this time and can't be visited by relatives and people can't go shopping for new baby gifts, they want to supply prints for artists so that people can order them online. They are things that might be, you know, commemorative, or you might put up in the nursery, or you have a print as a memory of a baby being born. And initially I thought, well, my work has got nothing to do with babies. And then I thought, well, actually, it's a really nice idea. They deal with all the handling, the print production, all the profits off from it are going back to, I think, the NHS. So it serves a purpose for the people who are in this time. It doesn't cost any of my time. Someone else is dealing with the logistics. Like you say, there may or may not be any kind of flow back towards my website. They're going to put a little bio thing on. We'll see. I don't know about that. But my initial reaction to the email was, I can't see what the connection is here, and I don't think any of my work is suitable. But then I was out that day and coming back, and I saw a neighbor who I don't see very often who was 5 days away from giving birth. And we kind of she was outside frantically cleaning the car. And I was like, okay, I think you're nesting. You might be getting close. So we had a little bit of a conversation. Then I came in and I saw this email. I thought, I don't see what the connection was. And I just, maybe because of the conversation with her, I just thought, just think about this a little bit more. How could you do this in a way that's going to make it easy? I'm not going to go away and spend hours specifically creating a new painting just for that. And I thought, actually, so what I did was I took a section of a painting and I made, because I only wanted it small, and I took a section of a painting and I've made it so that it can be printed within an A4 piece. And even conceptually, I quite like that idea to do with motherhood, babies, small parts being reflective of the whole. It kind of tied in, you know, and initially the feeling was no, but again, over time, I thought, right, I know how I can do this and make this easy.
Yeah.
And so even if,
you know, most of the prints that sell are of, I don't know, fluffy toys in a basket or something.
They're not.
But even if they were, somebody would look through them and prefer something else and like yours. And who knows if that person 5 years from now comes and buys an original painting or five original paintings. You know, who knows? You can't know. But if it's easy enough to do and it's not costing you anything, then I just think, why not? If in this busy world where it's hard to get attention, if somebody's willing to give you attention, that's the other thing. The magazines, this company, they're giving you the most valuable thing there is, which is other people's attention. Mm. That's far more valuable than a short-term payoff.
Mm.
And I just think any time that we can get somebody's attention, it's worth doing. And if it doesn't cost too much.
Yeah, and on that front, I think it's important that often we think we want these things and we ask for them, and then perhaps when they come in, we go, oh, I haven't got the time. Why should I do that for free? And we kind of push them back. And I think you've just got to be careful sometimes. Just be careful that if you are saying no, that you're saying no for the right reasons, which might be because it's allowing you to do something else. But just double check how this can be. I love any situation where I can turn it into a win-win for both parties. That's my total happy place to be.
Yeah.
If it feels one-sided, if it feels like I'm being strong-armed into doing something and it doesn't feel right, it feels a bit off, then there's something that perhaps you need to work a little bit harder about. But very often you can kind of wiggle it, negotiate it, come up with a slightly more creative way of doing it and go back so that it truly is a win-win for both people. And actually that sort of creative thinking about how you can pick this up and turn this into something else, I think we all need to do, and it benefits all of us then when we can do that. So we've got this idea of breadcrumbs then, which is really important, that actually all the time you're doing things like this, you're scattering these breadcrumbs out, which
yeah.
If they can lead back to you, it's a bizarre, strange thing. It's not linear, this getting your work out and people finding you. So be careful what you say no to, and just be considerate that there might be things that you can say yes to that would do you more benefit than you might think.
But the other thing that struck me very quickly about this is, also, the breadcrumbs that you're sowing in doing these things are the people who you work with. So the person at the magazine who rang four artists, three of whom said, no, not if I'm not getting paid. One of whom was really difficult to work with. And then one of whom was you, who said, absolutely, and I'll drive across London with it. Don't worry, I'll be there on time. And who was super professional and nice to work with. When that person goes to work at, you know, Vogue or somewhere next week, or goes to work somewhere else, goes to work for the royal family and starts being an art consultant for Prince Charles, do not know. But what you do know is, if you're professional, easy to work with, and say yes to things, when those people move on into new jobs, they remember you and they come back to you again, and the opportunity keeps growing from that. That's all I would say also.
Good. So should artists work for free?
Yes.
Yes.
Mostly. We agree.
Not all the time.
We have to find a topic we really don't agree on one day. We have to find a really meaty, no, we don't agree topic.
We'll work on it.
So moving swiftly along, have you been inspired this week?
Well, I've started reading a new book, which comes highly recommended from both my parents. It's called My Name is Asha Lev, and you're going to ask me who it's by, and I can't remember. But My Name is Asha Lev is Asher Lev. And they recommended it because we were talking about Unorthodox. If anybody has watched it, the Unorthodox program on Netflix, which is about a woman living in the Orthodox Jewish community in Brooklyn and then changing her life. And I was talking to my dad about this, and he said, this book is fantastic. It's about an artist growing up in that community as well. So the first couple of pages, I thought, oh, this is going to be a little bit heavy, but I'm into it now. And I think it's going to be a really good read. So that's my inspiration. Reading.
It's by... Now, I'm not going to be able to say this properly, so if anybody Jewish is listening, please don't laugh at me. Chaim Potok, and the first name is spelled Chaim Potok. And I think you say that Chaim, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, so I can't tell you what the story is going to be yet. All I can tell you is that both my parents independently read it, and they both highly recommended it, and often they don't always agree. So that's kind of good support for it. So I will let you know how that goes. What about you?
Mine is, well, because I've spent all my time sitting at the computer and haven't read anything or watched anything apart from doing my computer work, mine is the case study videos that I've been making for my upcoming course. And this isn't like a little plug where I say, oh, but what's really inspired me is how fantastic I am. This is their stories, their artwork has been so inspiring to me. These are people that took my course last year, and I asked them if I could interview them and talk about the course, but also just about their work and where they are with things. And I found it so inspiring, mainly because each one of them has taken what they did last year and carried on in their own direction. And they're all making entirely unique artwork that doesn't look like anybody else's. And they might not be where they want to be with it yet. They might still, some of them are still dissatisfied. Some of them still feel like they haven't found their own way yet quite. But I can see, because I'm seeing 15 of them, wow, look how different each one is. And their enthusiasm and their commitment, and knowing that these were people who weren't 100% into making art beforehand, who'd been dabbling but couldn't quite get into it, or some of them were completely stuck. One was traumatized by art school and hadn't painted for 30 years. You know, one had taken a lot of courses that had confused her and hadn't painted for a while. Some were beginners. One was an illustrator who got stuck on just sticking to representational but wanted more. But they were so inspiring, all of them, because of the amount of work they'd put in afterwards. And it reminds me, I often get emails from people looking for like the quick answer. How do I, you know, tell me how to find my voice, tell me how to, and there isn't a quick answer. But the answer is consistent, steady, working. And some of these people, like we've been, have got pulled away for a month at a time, come back to it, you know, they haven't been every day, but they've consistently over a year kept moving forward. And it's just exciting to see, especially knowing where somebody began. Often when we look at artwork online, we don't know where that person was a year ago or five years ago, but it's fun to see when you do know where they were. So I've just, it actually has inspired me. That's what got me back to my own paintings, was listening to them talk and seeing their work and realizing, oh yeah, I feel that little itch to get the paints out instead of just the paper and the inks again. So yeah,
it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because I think often we do feel sometimes that all source of inspiration must come from within ourselves. You know, it all has to be self-generated. But I often find that, you know, that spark that really gets you going again, it does come from seeing the impact of what you do on other people. So, you know, at the beginning, we started off by saying this, what have you been doing this week? We've been spending a lot of time in front of the computer, and I've been, you know, struggling with this and thinking, what can I do? But actually, then you realize that actually what you're creating in front of the computer is something that's really making a difference for people. And in ways that you perhaps don't anticipate when you start out. So I've been less organized than you. I haven't been doing interviews with people. I just said in my group, if anybody wants to do a little video saying this, this, and this, or anything else you want to say, just good excuse to video yourself up, prop your camera up and video to it and send it to me. And some of the things that people have chosen to say are things that I would never have anticipated or never quite have realized the benefits, because they've said it totally in their own way. And that is what's fired me up to still be sitting in front of the computer sometimes at 11:30 at night, making sure that I've got things that are coordinated and ready and for you know, for the next group of people. And I don't know, I think sometimes it's fair enough to accept that, you know, we all like it, and we're not encouraged to like it or feel proud when we have work that is recognized on others, whether that is the cover of a magazine or other people say what you do is good. We like it.
I shall boost your ego then now, because I was on a forum reading and somebody on a Facebook group reading, and somebody had said they were watching one of your videos on YouTube. And I thought, oh, I remember that video. It was a video of you painting, like halfway through a painting and talking through it. It was a long time ago. I remember watching you do it live. So I thought, oh, I'll go look for that. And I was making dinner and it was on in the background. I was watching, and I was, by the end of it, I was like, oh, I want to go paint now. Because watching somebody else paint is always inspiring.
Really inspiring.
Talk about what they're doing and why. So if you're feeling stuck, everybody, go look at Alice's YouTube channel. Find that video. I'll put a link in the show notes.
You won't find much else up there. But no, I think you're right. My point is that often I think we are told or we feel that inspiration has to come from some well of fruitfulness inside ourselves.
No,
I often find that it isn't that. You know, often it is, you know, you watch someone else painting and you think, that looks cool, I'm going to go and paint.
Or your Deeb and Corn book, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything. So grab it where you can take it. And, you know, if something gets you going, that's really good. Before we go then, I would just like to say, so those little prints, so if anybody knows anybody who is having a baby, or quite honestly, they're not all baby related prints on this thing, but the website address is motherhoodprints.co.uk. So, and they can be delivered for gifts for people, and all profits are going to NHS charities. I don't know if mine will be up yet by the time this comes out, but that's the website to go and have a look for that. And if you want to see my soaring painting, of course, it's plastered all over the homepage of my website, alicesheridan.com. And also on my website, you will find details of the Connected Artists Club. If you have been on the wait list, you already have had a few emails from me about it. So if you haven't been receiving those and you're interested, check your junk folder. I'm not going to do a public open. I'm only going to be doing it via email. So if you go to the For Artists section, or again, there's a post on the homepage, you'll find out where you can add your name to that email list. And it should be open from today. If I say it now, it'll have to be ready by Tuesday.
And it's well worth joining, people. Well worth joining.
That's it.
Okay. I think that's it from us. So we will see you next week.
Have a happy week painting.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Actually, my teeth are feeling slightly better. But did you know you can't go to the dentist at the moment? And so I'm going to go. He's given me a prescription for antibiotics. And he said, I shall leave it in the plant pot and I shall take a picture of where it is. And then I'll text you a picture and then you can come and pick it up. And it's like, I said, this is like a drug deal.